Let's just give him a warm welcome.
Well, praise God. Just amazes me the courage of these young you people, absolutely flourishing in God. You know, it's a daunting thing to get up and preach the word of God. Before I started preaching, I had a full set of hair. Now look at it, it's gone. Yes, and I really just bear witness that with that what Martin said about, you know, all my life, I grew up in a Christian family, and all my life, I never ever thought I'd actually say this, but I love being in church today. I feel so much ecstasy, so much peace, so much joy of being in church. And all my life, I just thought it were a boring, dusty old place. And it's far from it. If you just want to turn with me to John chapter 11. That's John chapter 11. And I'll just pray a blessing. So Father God, we thank you today that we're all gathered together in one place. Lord, and just as it happened on the day of Pentecost, Lord, they were all gathered in one place, Lord, and your Holy Spirit came and just brought signs, miracles and wonders. And Lord, we're just asking today, Father God, we're just waiting here, we're expecting today, Father, to hear from you, Lord. We're expecting today, Lord, to see your Spirit move, Father, and to see your kingdom come, Lord. I just pray today, Father God, that you would just enable me, Lord, you would give me the boldness, Lord, you would give me the clarity, Lord, of speech, Father God, to deliver this message clearly, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, for every heart, God, every eye and every ear, Lord, that it would be open, Father, and that it would be ready to receive, Father God, your word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we just pray that you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. So, John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. For they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better, won't he?" Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you might believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And I'm just so comforted and encouraged standing here today, because the title of my message is, "If there is a God, then why do bad things happen?" If there is a God, then why do bad things happen? We've all asked that question, haven't we? We've all asked that question. God, if you're there, then why are these things happening in this world around us? And, you know, just to hear Dia get up and say the same question in the testimony that she shared, that her friend said, "Why do bad things happen?" I'm just so encouraged. I'm just thanking God for that confirmation today. Now, in this message, in this story, there was a sick man named Lazarus. And when we think of sickness, we think of suffering. We think of the evil in the world. We think of the darkness. Starving people in Africa. All this bad stuff that's going on in the world. And you know, we often ask the question, well, if there is a loving God, and even if God even exists, then why is all this happening? I started off in a Christian home when I was a youngster. Provided for well, had everything. But I got bullied at school from an early age, and it just continued all the way through my school life. And at the age of 15, I got introduced to cannabis. And this just seemed like the right decision for me to make. All of a sudden, I wouldn't be getting bullied, but I'd actually become one of the bullies. You know the saying, if you can't beat them, join them? Well, that's what happened. And from this just escalated. I started taking amphetamines and ecstasy. It just escalated into a complete life of misery. And I have caused a lot of pain to people. I used to go around on evening times in Bowlby and attack people in the streets and rob them for money. Because this wouldn't only feed my addiction, but it would feed the pain. I caused pain to people because I had received pain from people. So in verse 3, the sisters send word to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. This sick man, this Lazarus, represents every one of us. Every one of us. Whether we're in Christ or not. And the beauty of it is that he loves every one of us. Whether we're in Christ or not. Whether we're going through suffering, whether we're going through pain, whatever it be, he loves every one of us, whether we know him or not. I just find this fascinating when I just apply this to my own life, that when I was stuck in that life of addiction for 10 years, causing pain to people, reaping havoc, and receiving it, Jesus Christ still loved me, even though I'd rejected him, even though I didn't believe in him. He still loved me. It's amazing. I have nearly died so many times. Just to list a few of them. I've been beaten up, I've been chucked off a bridge into the River Don, left to die. I've been knocked over by a car on a dual carriageway at a speed. I went straight over the bonnet, everything. I don't know how I landed, I just woke up in the middle of the road, but I've also had countless overdoses. 2 weeks before I went into Teen Challenge, which is a rehab Teen Challenge, I woke up on the floor in a bedsit, and the paramedic said that I'd stopped breathing, that they thought I were dead. I've been beaten unconscious in a bedsit by 4 guys who bottled me around the head numerous times. I had 2 fractured cheekbones. I had blood coming out of my ears, and the doctor said that it's a miracle that you are alive today, and it's even more of a miracle that you've not been blinded by the attack. And do you know what that tells me, people? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that before I even knew there was a God in heaven, he knew me and he loved me. It weren't conditional on whether I loved him or not. That just absolutely amazes me. It just absolutely amazes me. In verse 4, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. I just want to say to you today, God is not the author of bad things. God is not the author of pain and suffering. I just want to give you a couple of reasons on why there's pain and suffering in this world. There's a devil. There's a good side and there's a dark side. We all know Star Wars. There's the dark side of the Force and there's the good side of the Force. If there's a good power in the world, if there's an almighty, sovereign, righteous, good power in the world, wherever there's light, there is also darkness. And there is a devil in this world who seeks to reap havoc and cause trouble in this world. He just wants to abolish peace altogether. And that's why we see so much of this suffering when we watch the news and whatever of it. But there's a second reason for pain and suffering. And this is the biggest reason, if you ask me. The second reason is us. We are the reason that there is so much pain and suffering and trouble in this world. I just want to take you a minute back to creation, when the world began. Right? God made the very first two people, Adam and Eve. And there was this garden, the first garden called the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, there were two trees. There was one tree, which was called the Tree of Life. And Adam and Eve could eat of this all day long. And when they ate of it, it gave them eternal life. They lived forever whenever they ate from that tree. But there was also another tree on the other side of the garden. And this was called the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. And God says, you shall not eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you'll die. So anyway, one day, they end up eating from the tree. And as soon as they ate from that tree, they inherited sin. Like they received the knowledge of evil. From that day on, the devil didn't really have to do much work on this earth anymore, because he'd done it in that one act. In tempting Adam and Eve to take the fruit, the devil's work was done. Now we would go and fulfill the will of the enemy, because he'd put it in us through the fruit. So most of the time, it's actually us. It's because people are on this earth. I just want to say it to you again. God is not the author of suffering and pain and bad things. Far be it. He's not like that. But he does use it. One day, Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth, and he's going to bring an end to all pain and all suffering. Hallelujah! I can't wait for that day. I'm anticipating it. I'm so excited for that day when I'll finally get to meet Jesus. I'll finally get to see his face. I'll get to touch him. I'll get to give him a hug in person. Wow, what a day! And there's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more insecurity. There's going to be no more jealousy. There's going to be none of it. We're going to be free, hallelujah. Free. Doesn't that make anyone happy? Amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Verse 5 and 6. Now it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. He loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Hang on a minute. Have I just read that properly? Hang on a minute. I'm sure I've just read it. Yeah, I have. Hey, that don't make sense. He loved Mary, Martha and Lazarus, so he stayed. Now, Jesus was in a different location. They was in Bethany. And when he found out they were sick, he stayed there 2 days. Hang on a minute, Jesus. Lazarus is going to die if you don't get there and heal him. Now I'm going to stay here 2 days. Wow. He hesitated. But this word, this Bible says that he hesitated because he loved him. He hesitates to act in our lives because he loves us. And I'm going to show you why. And this question just raised up. It's like, God, why are you waiting? And I've got one word. Misunderstood. And I want to say that to you today. God is misunderstood. In today's age, in the dark times we're living in, God is misunderstood. There's many people who don't know God, but yet they go around saying what they think about God, and they don't have a right understanding of God. They don't understand God's ways. They don't understand how God works. Now, if I was going to give my son a gold watch and he was 3 years old and I give him the gold watch, Do you think that would be a good idea for me to do that? This watch cost me £2,000. It's 3 years old. I'm going to go, here, son, I love you. I'm going to bless you with this gold watch. It's not a good idea, is it? But if I waited till my son was 16, 17 years old, then it'd be a bit more of a better idea, wouldn't it? And that's the best way I can illustrate this, is that we don't always get things when we want them. We don't always see answers how we want to see them. And this is the problem. In this generation, we're very, very like, I want it now. I want it and I want it now. And if we don't get it now, we think we're not getting it. And that's what people are like with God. People think, oh, all these trouble in the world, there's no solution happening right before my eyes. Oh, well, God doesn't exist then. That's it. I'm just going to give up on God. That's it, whatever. And that is the truth of the matter. God could fix things straight away in your life. He could fix things straight away. He could fix things in your life straight away. But God would rather us wait for His best. For His best. He could fix something right now for you. But He knows what's best for you. And this is a word, I really feel this for the church for tonight. Is there anybody in this audience who has been disappointed? Do you feel like you've had a disappointing hand of life so far? Are you disappointed with the rubbish that life's dealt with you? Well, I've got one thing to say to you. Behold, because God's got something far better than you can ever begin to think or imagine. You look at your troubles right now. You look at the disappointing dealings that life's give you, and you think of the dream in your head, the solution. What would the solution be? Well, I want to say to you today that what God's got planned is bigger than what is even in your head. It's bigger than your dreams can imagine, and I can testify to that today. God wishes to see you well, but He would rather you be abundantly well. God wants to see you all free, all your young people free, but He would rather you be free indeed. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. You know, this illustrates it. When I was in addiction, my mum prayed for me fervently. She kicked me out and she prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And after a year or so, she was like, God, I'm praying to you. Why is Stephen still on drugs? Why haven't you done anything, Lord? Are you even there? Are you even answering my prayers? But it's only since, after the 10-year period, now my mum knows that God had answered her prayers. But it weren't in her timing. It weren't an instant thing like that. It took 10 years for God to do the work in me that He had to do. Amazing. God is misunderstood. So verse 9 states that Jesus talks about walking in daylight and that those who walk in daylight won't stumble. And I just want to say to you today, this is what Jesus Christ can do for you today. This is what Jesus Christ can do for you today. Jesus, when we come into the light, Jesus said that I am the light of the world. And anyone who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And do you know one thing that happens? When we walk in light, when we have the light in us, we begin to see more clearly. And when we begin to see more clearly, we don't trip over. We see where we're going. We don't fall. Another thing God can do for you, Jesus Christ, He can enlighten your mind. When you start to walk in the light, your mind is enlightened. Your mind is renewed, it's touched. All of a sudden we can make better decisions. Because we can see better, we can then start to put our mind to it and make better choices in life. And a third thing that Jesus Christ can do for you today, and this is the one I love the most, He will strengthen you. He will give you boldness and confidence. Do you know what? Before I were a Christian, before I gave my life to the Lord, when I was a drug addict, I couldn't even set foot out of my house without drinking a bottle of cider. I had anxiety. I felt like having a heart attack all the time. I was so paranoid. I was so nervous all the time. I was so insecure. But today, I stand up here without anything but the Holy Ghost. It's just His Spirit. It's all His Spirit. And, you know, we see here that Jesus was on about speaking about the light. And His disciples are going, don't go over there. They're gonna kill you. They're going to stone you. But Jesus was full of confidence and boldness. And He was like, listen, I'm going because I have the light of life in me. And we're not going to stumble. And my last point regarding this is stumbling is one of the things that causes suffering and pain. When we fall and stumble, that's when we begin to hurt others. It's just so true. And in verse 12 and 13, His disciples start speaking about, Lord, if He sleeps, then He'll get better. Surely He'll get better. And Jesus was like, no, you've got it all wrong, guys. You've got it wrong. I didn't mean he's asleep. I meant He's dead. And once again, God is misunderstood. That is the answer to the question. If there is a God, why do bad things happen? He's misunderstood. Completely, there is a God. The solution is just not as we think it is. My job today is to represent Jesus Christ for who He truly is. Is to show you all the God who created us all, who created us to love Him, who created us to have a relationship with Him. Because He's our Father. He is our Father. In verse 15, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there. Hang on a minute, Jesus is saying here, I'm glad I wasn't there to heal Lazarus. I'm glad. Because for your sakes, I'm glad. For the disciples' sake, I am glad. And this is what He wanted to show the world, the power of the manifestation of Jesus Christ, God and Savior. He wanted to show that to the world. And this is it. Miracles testify. We're going on about Lazarus here. We're talking about, well, he was a sick man, now he's a dead man. But it wasn't just about the dead man. It wasn't just about that. When I got saved from drugs, when God restored me from 10 years of addiction, it wasn't just about me. It's far greater than that. If it were just about me, He could have just saved me after a year of being on drugs. But no, it was about you guys. It was about the older ones at the back. It was about everyone out there in that dying world. I am going to do a miracle in your life, Stephen, and I am going to show it off to the world to display My glory. Hallelujah. And that's what He does here. It's not just about the dead man. God heals and saves because He loves. He saves and heals because He loves. But He does it in a way that draws people in. He does it in a way that includes everybody. What a God. What an amazing God. You know, since I have come to Christ, I have just been so awestruck by it. I can't even believe that I'm here speaking to young girls here today from intake. I used to walk these streets out of my head. I've hung around here for years, and it's a big challenge coming back. I've got a lot of old friends around here, but it's such a privilege today to come here and do this. If that's not God putting this church right in a place where I used to take drugs, it's just amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And you know, since I've come to Christ, I've seen Him do amazing things. I never ever thought I would drive a car. I'm going to get a car next week. I passed my test. That is something that I didn't even dream of. But God's done the unthinkable for me. He's an amazing God. Honestly, you can't even imagine what he can do in your life. Does anyone want to know how the story ends? Do we want to know? Well, I'll just give you a brief summary then. So by the time, anyway, Jesus gets to the tomb, he gets there, he walks over, and everyone's like, Jesus, you might as well go home. Just go. He's been dead for 4 days, man. He's starting to smell and everything. And when he gets there and he sees Mary and Martha, he sees them crying. And he sees all the Jews around the tomb crying. And he begins to cry and weep. And do you know what? I just think that that's what the Father felt for Jesus when he was crucified. But he prays to the Father and thanks Father God. And he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And he comes out. And everyone starts to celebrate. And many people believe in Jesus. And that is the point of this message. He could have healed Lazarus, but he decided to wait and do it in a mighty way where many people would see the manifest presence of God, where many people would see the power of the gospel. And I just want to sum this up for you. I have truly found life since I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Do you know, Jesus Christ, and I had many people telling me this all my life. I grew up in a Christian home. And what I always used to say is, I'll have to give up too much, Mum, to give my life to Jesus. I like to do this, I like to do that, I like to listen to this music, I like to smoke, But you know what? The truth is, I've not had to give anything up. Because I've realised as I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I've actually gained life. I've gained the world. And do you know what? One thing, right, is when I used to take drugs, right, I was looking for peace. I was looking for a high. I was looking for a thrill. I was looking for excitement. And when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I felt it all. And I was just like, wow, what a mug I have been. Instead of going to drug dealers and paying for drugs, if I just lifted up my head and prayed to you, God, I would have had the feeling that I'd been chasing for all my life. And it's just absolutely incredible how we can be so close to what we're searching for, but we can miss it for that long. So why do bad things happen? To be honest, I don't know the ins and outs. Thank God that is not my job. That is his job. He's the one who's the wise one. It's not me. But I do know one thing, that all things work together for those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And everyone's called. We're all of us in here are called. You know, the Bible says many are called but few are chosen. We've all been called here. You've been called, you've been called, you've been called, you've been called, you've been called. But we have to step out and receive. Once we step out and choose Christ, he then chooses us. It's a beautiful thing. The gospel is a whosoever message. Whosoever is willing, let him come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. You know, this message, this whole message, it's a prophetic sign. This old miracle was a sign of what God was about to do through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they will die. And it's just absolutely incredible. Jesus went to the cross for every single person in this room, just for you. If there were only you on this earth, he would have just gone just for you. He was God in the flesh. he could see you sat here right now 2,000 years ago, and he went there and he sweated blood, it says in the Bible, before the crucifixion. He sweated blood because he was that anxious. And he went there weeping, and he saw you. He saw you there, and he thought, I'm going to the cross for that person, for that child. And he went there and he died. 3 days later, he rose again on high. And that's what this was a prophetic sign of what God was about to do. And that's why I think when Jesus weeps, I think the Father was weeping because of the death of Jesus. It cost God absolutely everything to send his son. It cost God everything that we could have life. He's an awesome God. He really is. I love him with all my heart tonight, and I'm so thankful that I can just have the privilege of just telling you about him. I just want to leave you just with a few more points. God is desperate for you tonight. He's absolutely desperate to know you. He's desperate to hear you speak to him. He loves you, man. You know, he might be righteous and just, but all he desires is truth from you. It's not about good works. It's not about how well you behave. It's not about how many times you read your Bible. It's about your heart. He just wants you to be real with him. He's absolutely desperate for every one of us. The Bible says that he's jealous for us. He's jealous for us. Wow. And he will go out of his way. Just like Jesus went out of his way. Jesus Christ. I'm going to let Lazarus die, even though it's going to break my heart. I'm going to go and raise him up again so that I can have these other people as well, so that I can have a relationship with these. It's what happened. It's the gospel. God will sacrifice everything in order to restore a relationship with you. I just want to invite us just to bow our heads just a minute. And you know, I read this statement the other day. I may not be able to change the world I see around me, but I can change the way I see the world within me. And you know, once you start to see the world in a different way, you will change the world around you. You know, and that's just little snippets of what Christ can do for you. He can do so much within you. It's unbelievable. Really. I just want to invite, if you feel like this message has spoke to you, if you feel like Jesus Christ is calling you tonight, and everyone just keep their heads bowed, but if you feel like Jesus Christ is calling you today, then I just invite you just to raise your hand. No one's going to look at you. Everyone's got their head bowed. I just invite you just to raise your hand. Jesus. Father God, I'm just going to say a prayer now. And if we could all repeat it, if you feel like you want to repeat after me, then please do. Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, that you paid everything when you sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your blood is sufficient and that it's cleansing to the very core. Lord, we just say we're sorry for the things that we've done. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you. We ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Fill us with your love and begin to grow in a relationship with us. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. And we bless you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer from your heart and you meant it, then that's great, you know. It's Jesus, you know, that's a prayer of committing your life to Christ. And if you have any questions at all that you would like to ask, come and see any member of the team. There's Daniel here, there's myself, there's Martin at the back, there's Andrew, Pastor Andrew up at the top there. So please do come if you have any questions, anything at all you would like to ask. Don't hesitate. We're here to answer your questions and just to serve you in any way we can. We've got snacks and food and refreshments, which is my favourite part.